Okay, welcome to our new show, the 4DDD Interviews. My name's Glenn and I'm the host of our new show. This show is designed to give you a bit of an insight into the people who are part of the decision-making process of our region and whose decisions make a difference to us all. This is our first interview, and what better way to start than with Councillor Ian Rasmussen from the Western Downs Regional Council. So welcome, Ian.
Oh, thank you, Glenn. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And I think, why don't we start by asking, were you born and bred in Dalby?
No, I wasn't. I grew up in Mackay. I lived in Mackay until I was about 16 years of age. I then moved overseas for a few years and studied and played sport in USA and across Europe, back through New Zealand and back to Townsville and Mackay and then back to Toowoomba, and I've been in this area ever since, but in the Dalby region for 26 odd years now.
Wow, you sound like you've had a pretty exciting life so far.
Oh, so far, long way to go.
And like what you said, been here for 26 years, what brought you to Dalby?
I came back to Toowoomba, and from there I became a PE teacher, so I had stints all around the kind of the Western Downs area, all the way around Toowoomba out to Roma and back to this area. So this is where I settled after all that.
Oh, that's great. And tell me, what do you think the great things of living in Dalby are?
Oh, look, I said a moment ago, I have friends all over the world and all over Australia, of course, and they all ask me, where is Dalby? And after I finish telling them where it is, they say, why do you live there? And I always give the same answer, and the answer always is, because I choose to. That's where I choose to live. And the reason I choose to live here, of course, is, and I say I live here because I can. And the reason I do that is because it's a small community. I love small communities, but other than that, I probably know close to half the people in town. They're friendly, it's a safe environment, everyone's supportive. And no matter where you live in town, we're only 5 minutes to the supermarket for a litre of milk.
Oh, it's great, isn't it? And tell me, I introduced you as a councillor. What was your deciding factor in you choosing to run for council?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, Glenn. That's a great question, because most councillors have a single issue that stirs them up somewhere along the line, and they get involved and then run for council. Or even better still, it gives them an interest in council, so they run for council from there. But I had none of those. I guess I was lucky enough, when I was about 13 years of age, I had what I call a life-changing experience, and that was I got to coach an under-10 basketball team, a bunch of little kids, for a season. And that taught me some amazing things, and that was the joys, the benefits, and the rewards from volunteering. And ever since then, I've been involved in every community wherever I've lived, and he has been no different. But council-wise, I guess I quite often answer that question with one of Theodore Roosevelt's quotes and his famous speech, which was called Citizenship in the Republic. And that he gave that speech in 1910. And it's now known as the man in the arena. And it starts with, it is not the critic that counts, nor the man who points out how the strong man stumbles. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly. The speech goes on to point out how some people work hard against all odds to help society, while others just contribute nothing but criticism. So I guess there's two choices. You can be a critic, or you can bend your back and get a bit of blood, sweat and tears on your face and enjoy the benefits of that. And of course, I choose to be in the arena. So
long
answer, but that's the reason I joined
council. Yeah, but what a wonderful answer that is. That's great to hear that. But tell me, what's it actually like being a councillor?
Oh, look, it's very rewarding. It has its ups and downs, but most of the time it's very rewarding. It's it gives you the opportunity to inspire people to work in your community, to make a lot of improvements and a lot of benefits, and to make a real difference in people's lives. The downside of course, is it's dealing with the critics, and but the upside is that I learn something new every day, especially from the staff, who cover so many different areas right across council, and every day I'm learning something new that I didn't know before. So it's certainly, it's enthralling, really.
Okay, how many terms have you done now?
I've done two, this is my third.
Your third one, wow.
And this'll be the last, Glenn, so here I'm putting it out there right now.
We're
looking for some...
we got a scoop.
we're looking for a bit of succession coming up, so this'll be my last. I'm a believer in not staying there too long and getting some new blood in, new ideas, and giving some other people a go. So I'll be looking forward to promoting someone else up to that spot.
I remember going over to your place on the first time you your first election. You had an election party. It was a Sunday afternoon or a Saturday afternoon, so that was most enjoyable. So I remember that fondly. Okay, and this will be your last term. Tell me, how often does council meet?
Officially, council meets once a month, so it's the third Monday of every month. But we basically block out the first and third week of every month, and that's our meetings month, where we have all sorts of meetings and information sessions. But the official meeting is only once a month, but we can have six or seven meetings a month at times.
Okay. What's your official title, and what committees are you on?
Okay, but my portfolio is finance, corporate support, and business strategy. So that covers everything from finance, obviously, and budgeting and budgets, and anything that what I say comes out of the White House in Dolby. So it's everything from HR to finance to training and business processes and strategies. Also, so the business strategy part of it is trying to attract businesses to the region to create employment. I also look after sale yards and the healthcare area. I am the chair of the audit committee. So the audit committee, I guess, is part of the internal audit, external audit. So we oversee all of that. We look at the risks and the financial statements for council and business improvement practices. We report back to council and deal with Queensland Audit Office and Queensland Parliament. So that's a big job. I'm the chair of that. That's a big one that I sit on. And I'm also on the senior executive recruitment. So all the senior executive are recruited through a panel. I'm on that panel as well. So that keeps me busy most days.
Wow, I'm finding this is amazing. This is a major portfolio you're in charge of. How many hours a week do you reckon you put into council time?
That's a good question. So as you probably know, we're part-time. So councillors in the Western Downs are designated as part-time, so is the mayor as part-time mayor. I would say some weeks I'd do 60 to 80 hours. Other weeks, maybe 10 to 20. So being part-time, it's assumed with our salary range and whatever, it's assumed that we would have a full-time job somewhere else and be doing council on the side. But as you can see, it's...
No, not with that portfolio, you wouldn't.
I don't have time to have a full-time job other than run my own businesses. Well, so yeah, it's pretty busy.
I was going to ask the next question was, how has it affected your social life, all these long hours?
Social life, I'm not quite sure what that is. And social life is great, but it all revolves around council. And social life is three or four nights a week out at council events. I think probably one out of four or five weekends I might not have a council event on. So yeah, that's my life. When you're in council, you're in council. That's your social event, basically.
Wow. Okay, I think it's time for a musical interlude now, Ian. So I'm going to let you pick the artist and the song. Who's one of your favourites? What song would you like?
Oh, I'd like to hear "You've Got a Friend in Me" by Randy Newman.
Oh, that's a good number. That'll go well. We'll play that.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old pal said. Boy, you've got a friend in me. Yeah, you've got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend. Got trouble, I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together, we can see it through. 'Cause you've got a friend in me. Yeah, you've got a friend in me. Now some of the folks might be a little bit smarter than I am, bigger and stronger too. It's me and you, boy. And as the years go by, a friendship will got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me.
Well, I hope you all enjoyed that song. It's a wonderful old song, so good choice there, Ian. Tell me, what is your favourite thing about being a counsellor?
Oh, my favourite thing about being a counsellor is basically having the opportunity to get out and meet with the residents, with the people in the community, and that constant interaction. Also working with staff. I love working with staff. Like I said earlier, I learn something new from them every day, and it's a great relationship that I have there with them. So that is a big plus. But getting out in the community and working with people and solving problems, because that's really what I like to do. I'm a problem solver, and I'd love it when, you know, people come with, and so quite often they think they're making a complaint, but really they're just looking for some help, and most problems can be solved. So if you know, someone comes with a problem and I can help them solve it, I will, and if I can't, I'll tell them straight out, I can't do that, or council doesn't do that, or we can't do that. And most people are pretty happy with that. So that's one of the favorite things is having that interaction with the general public, I guess.
Okay, solving problems for various people would be very satisfying, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely, it is. Yeah. It always satisfying if you can do that, and yeah, make someone happy every day if you can, which is good.
Okay, now that was the easy question. Now for the hard question, Ian. Everyone's got favourite things about their job. What's your least favourite about your job?
I think the least favourite, I touched on that one a minute ago, Glenn, and that's definitely the critics in the community. So I have a theory that 98% of the people are happy, and some of those you can help, and occasionally you hear from them if they've got a problem and you can solve that. But there's probably 2-3% of people out there that are critics, that don't contribute anything, and just make life miserable for everyone. So they're the people that make it hard, and I would say that when you're in public life, doesn't matter whether you're in politics or where you are, but when you're in public life, you learn to deal with the critics, and you learn to deflect some of that, and your skin gets a bit tougher. But every now and then they hit you dead center in the eye with an arrow, and it hurts, and it takes a while sometimes to bounce back from that and to get up and shake yourself off. But I try to keep the positive mindset and keep reminding myself that, you know, there are people like that out there, but generally 98% of the other people appreciate what you do, the effort you put in, and how hard you work. And, you know, it's the old story. If you we all make mistakes, and of course councillors and council makes many mistakes, and the best thing you can do is correct those mistakes when you make them. And if someone points it out and you can correct it, you correct it straight away and move on, get up and dust off, and off you go. So, you know, that's probably the least favorite thing. But one of the other things that sort of frustrates me a little, I guess, is the bureaucracy. And it's the same in any public job, any government job, and especially in politics. But, you know, we have legislation we have to deal with and work with and work around, and most people in the community don't understand or wouldn't understand the legislation that we have unless they've been involved in it. And that quite often is hulls things up and makes it really tough to operate within. So that's a frustrating part of the job, but put that aside, it's all good fun.
Oh, well, unfortunately you choose to deal with the positive people, the 98%, so you don't get ruled by the minority, thank goodness. Tell me, what would be your proudest moment since becoming a councillor? What's been your proudest achievement?
Okay, there's probably a few of those, but without a doubt, the number one thing. So I'm a strategist, and I spend my life with other councillors and with the staff trying to set strategy for the future, and not for this year's budget, next year's budget, for 15, 20, 30 years out is what I'm always looking at and trying to achieve. So my goal always is to leave our community in a better place for our kids and our grandkids. So we have to have a long-term view. So there are many, many proud moments, but one of those, of course, and it's been all over the media for years, but is something that I have been on about for 10 or 11 years, been working really hard towards, and in my portfolio as well with finance and corporate support, been working on paying out the debt. And when I got into council, we had almost getting up towards $160 million worth of debt. We are now one of only three, maybe four councils in Queensland with no debt at all.
Wow, that's impressive.
And that saves us millions and millions of dollars in interest a year, which we can then turn around and put back into other projects. So that's the number one thing, but that also, our financial sustainability looking forward, so our strategies and finance looking forward for the next 30 years are really good. Queensland Audit Office has ticked us off in every area, and in fact, one of the things I'm really proud is that Queensland Audit Office holds up our council and our financial status to the other councils as a as an exemplar for them to follow and to copy. So that's really good. So one other thing, I guess I'll give you one more. That is, again, on the strategy, the long-term strategy. And this is something that no one ever sees, but every time someone turns on a tap and the water comes out, or they press a button on the toilet and the sewage disappears, it's all good. When it doesn't, they quickly make a phone call and want it to be fixed. But since in my time in council, and I haven't done it, but in my time in council, due to the fact that we've had the money to do it and we've planned very carefully, but we have replaced every water and sewage treatment works right across the region in all of our major towns. So there's been hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars spent, and it's all underground. No one can see it. But the good news is the next council and the one after that and the one after that shouldn't have to do any more other than maintenance. They won't have to build anything new, because it should be there for the next 30, 40 years. And it's all underground. No one can see it. But that's something I walk away with, walk away from feeling pretty proud that our community will be saved a lot of money over the long term because of that strategy.
Well, that's wonderful to hear that. And actually, that sort of in a way leads into my next question. How do you ensure all the towns in our regions are treated evenly and fairly?
Yeah, in my mind, that's easy, but in the public's mind, it's not that easy. But I always ask myself this question before I make any decision, and I ask the other councillors this quite often and remind them of this, but every decision that we make, the question we should ask before we make the decision is this decision in the best interest of the whole of the community? And that means the whole of the community right across the region. So the hard part comes then. So I'll give an example. If we had a small town, for example, and their bore broke down, we might have 20 ratepayers in that town. If that bore costs $1 million to fix, that's $50,000 per ratepayer. So those guys would have to live until they were about 150 years of age paying rates to pay off that debt. But of course, that's not the way it works. The way it works, of course, is if a small town is in that situation, well then, we're one region. We all look after each other. So they would be subsidised by the bigger towns like Dalby, Chinchilla. And at the same time, they don't have a swimming pool or a cultural centre in a small town. They travel to the larger towns for that. So even though there's small towns and large towns, the resources have to be shared around, and we all have to subsidise each other in some way. So that's probably the way that we try to treat evenly and fairly. But sometimes you've got to treat people a little bit unfairly, they would think, to make it even and fair across the board. So that's
okay. But it's very important for you that they do get treated all evenly. So that's good to hear. Hey, we might have another music break now. So you chose well last time, Ian. Is there another musician you'd like to choose? And we'll play another song.
Neil Diamond's an old favourite from way back. How about Sweet Caroline?
Sweet Caroline, that's a beautiful song, that. So we'll enjoy this, all you listeners.
Where it began, I can't begin to know it. But then I know that it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring? Spring became the summer. Would I believe that you'd come along? Hand touching hand. Reaching out, touching me, touching you. Sweet Caroline, good time.
we fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, it runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when I'm holding you? Warm, touching wall, reaching out, see, touching me, touching you, sweet Caroline. Your time never seems so good. I've been inclined, Lord, I know I have, to believe there never would. Oh, no.
Okay, listeners, wasn't that a beautiful song? Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond, and that was chosen by Ian, and you're listening to the Ford Triple D interviews, and I have Councillor Ian Rasmussen here, and he's having a wonderful chat and telling me all about his life at the council. So I'm fascinated so far. I'm hearing a lot of this for the first time, and I'm starting to develop quite an understanding of what he goes through with his... with his role in the council. So we'll keep going now, Ian. Another question for you. What's required to maintain a good relationship between the councillors and the council staff? Because of the times I've dealt with the council staff, you seem to have some wonderful staff there. So how do you maintain the good relationship there?
Yeah, that's a great question, Glenn. And we do have some fantastic staff, and I'm really proud of all of them. And sometimes it's hard to balance. Again, I'm talking about the legislation, but the legislation is that councillors really are a board of directors. So most people in the public don't understand this, but years ago, councillors, you know, you call your local councillor and he would call the guy on the truck and they'd duck around and fix the road. But that's actually against the law these days. So councillors have no authority or power to delegate or to direct anyone whatsoever. So the mayor has the power and the authority to direct the CEO. Councillors, through a council resolution of from a council meeting, can direct the CEO to take some action, and then he will delegate that back to his staff. So it's a balancing act there, and it's all about, as you said, developing relationships. So I can't even ask anyone to do something, although they're always quite happy to do it if it's done in a nice fashion, and you have that relationship there. But any relationship, of course, and especially between councillors and staff, comes back to respect and understanding. And, you know, I always quote the, you know, walk a mile in my shoes quote. So, you know, you don't understand what, or no one understands what you do until you say walk a mile in my shoes or follow me around for a day, and you don't understand what someone else does until you put yourself in their position. So the first thing that I say is, you know, if I was giving any new councillor advice, I would say, you need to understand the job and the restraints around what that person has to do in their job and why they can't do what we think they might be able to do. So once you understand that, you have respect for them. And at the same time, those staff understand what our position is and what our powers and rights are, and they develop a respect there. So it's having that dual respect, I guess, and working together with each other and understanding what the restraints are to try and get the best outcomes for the community. But I think, as you say, we have some fantastic staff, and they're very understanding, and they do understand that, you know, councillors are the ones that are on the ground. We're the ones that are out there taking the complaints or gathering the information, and we have to do something with that. So whilst we can't go and direct staff to do something, we can take that information back, provide it to staff for their information, and if they have the right respect for us and we have the right respect for them, it works really well, and we get a great outcome for the community.
Wow, that's it's a big learning curve for me. I didn't know most of these things about your limits and all of that, and the rules you've got to live by. So very complex. Probably one of the last questions. What's on your wish list for our region?
Righto, Glenn. That's something that I think about like daily when I'm in council or thinking about council, and really at the end of the day, it's about growing our region and getting our whole region to a stage where it's sustainable well into the future. So I talked about finances before, and that's the number one thing for me, even though that's my portfolio and that's my area. I've got a background in economics and corporate finance and business, but that is my number one interest. But at the same time, I believe that if you're broke, you can't do anything. So if you very financial and you're financially sustainable, you have a lot more opportunities to advance your community. So it's really important that those finances are kept in check and looked after across the next few years. But as I said, we need our community and our region to continue to grow. That's the key thing, because if we've got growth, we're creating employment. So if we can attract businesses here, help businesses grow here, and give them incentives to grow and make it easier for them to operate here and to make money, then we create employment. And employment, of course, keeps people here. It keeps our kids here. It attracts more people here. And of course, you know, some people say, well, why do we want more people in our region? Well, simple answer to that is more people means more jobs. It means more shops. It means better healthcare, and it means better schools. So once you've got all of those things, it becomes self-sustaining. It attracts more people, but it also keeps more people here, and our community will continue to grow, because we all know that the first thing I look at as an economist, if I'm looking anywhere at other towns, the first thing I look at is the employment numbers. And if there's high unemployment, then you know the town's in trouble. And it's not just lack of jobs, it's lack of services as well. So when you get to a situation where everyone's employed and the economy's going well, then you have a vibrant community. And that's exactly what we want here. And that's something that I'm always striving for, because like I said earlier, I'm always looking forward. I'm looking 20, 30 years ahead. And I'm not looking about for a community for my kids. I'm looking at a community for my grandkids. So that's my aim, is to keep building towards that and having a strategy to achieve that in that long term. And I think if all councils in the future do the same thing, I think this region has a really bright future. So that's my number one goal. So my wish list is that we can grow the community, we can attract businesses, we can create employment, we can help our businesses make more money and create more jobs, and we'll have a more prosperous community.
Well, that's a hell of a good wish list for the future. So that's wonderful. I've really enjoyed talking to you today, Ian, and I thank you very much for coming in. I think our time's up now, so I wanted to say thank you for coming in. For our listeners, Councillor Ian Rasmussen has been talking for the last half hour. I must also say thank you. We have Michael Kane, the station program manager, has been our sound tech for this, and he's pushed all the buttons so that we could just talk and not have to worry about pushing buttons or anything like that. Otherwise, we'd get to the end of the interview and I'd think, oh, hang on, I forgot to press the record button. So thank you, Michael, for helping us out today. And Ian, thank you very much for coming in. I've really enjoyed our chat. You've opened my eyes to quite a few things, and it all sounds very complex, but all I can say is thank goodness we've got people like you at the helm to to help guide our council and lead the way. And let's hope we achieve your long-term goal and your wish list for the region. So thank you very much, Ian.
You're very welcome, Glenn. I certainly appreciate the opportunity and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. So thank you again.
Okay, so we'll go back to a bit of music and a bit of a playlist. So farewell, everybody. Bye-bye.